Well, it's good again to be back in New Cumnock for the preaching of the gospel. And you know, what a challenge, even at the very start of our service tonight. These words that we have just sung, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You must be born again. And you know, so often we leave our appeal and our earnest preaching to the end when we're bringing our message to a close and ask these solemn questions. Are you born again tonight? I want you to think seriously about that, even now. Are you born again? Has there been that moment in your life when you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Have your sins been forgiven? Do you know the peace and the joy and the happiness of being right with God? Do you know the hope that when this life is over, or when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to the air, that you're going to be in heaven with him? Think seriously tonight. Don't wait for the challenge at the end of our meeting tonight. If you sit here tonight and you've never been born again, you've never had your sins forgiven, if you're sitting here tonight and you're not in a right relationship with God and you're far away from him, then I urge you tonight, even now, before I even open my Bible, before I even start to speak, that you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be born again tonight. You know, I just want to make four short readings from the Word of God tonight and hopefully preach to you a simple gospel message. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was simple, and really the words that we're going to read tonight come directly from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we open our Bible, you know, and we read these words, these aren't just words that I've made up tonight. These aren't words that the Christians that gather here in this little gospel hall have made up, or their predecessors have made up. These are words that come direct from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Words that were spoken more than 2,000 years ago, and recorded by God himself through the Holy Spirit, that you might hear them tonight. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four statements that the Lord Jesus Christ made while he was here in this earth. And the first one is found in Matthew in chapter 9. Matthew in chapter 9. And we'll start reading at verse 10. It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many tax collectors, of publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that are well, or they that be whole, need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it's really that wee phrase right at the end of our reading there that I want to highlight tonight. Words that left the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one that is preached about Sunday night after Sunday night here in this little building. From the many Christians that gather here have put their faith and trust in. These were the words that came from his lips. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Over a couple of books in the Bible to John, the Gospel according to John in chapter 12. John chapter 12, and we'll read at verse 46. Or we'll start at verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth in me, believeth not in me, but in him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Again, these are the exact words spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. And back a couple of chapters to John chapter 10. Verse 9 will start, and Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am come, that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And finally, over in the Gospel of Mark, just back a couple of books in our Bible to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We'll read it verse 34. And when he had called the people, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. And these again are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. These are the demands that our Lord Jesus Christ puts upon us. No demands that the Christians here make, no demands that I make, or the Christians Auchinleck make. These are the demands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we do know tonight that the Lord will add a blessing to his word. You know, maybe this may be your first time, maybe you've been coming along to these little services for quite some time now, and, you know, maybe it's still going on in your mind, you know, what is so different about Christianity? What makes Christianity stand out different from all the other religions in our world? And maybe even closer than that, maybe you think, what makes the message that is preached in the Gospel Hall and you come different from the messages that we hear in other so-called Christian churches? What is different about what we have to present to you tonight? Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ really tells us what is different. These words that he has said. The Lord Jesus Christ, we don't come here to preach our own message. We don't come here to preach a message that has been concocted of men tonight. We don't even come here with our own invitation to you tonight. We come here with a message that comes from the very heart of God himself. We come here with a message that has left the very lips of the Lord Jesus himself. We come here tonight to present an invitation that comes direct from the heart of God tonight. You know, it's good that you've accepted an invitation to come here. That's great. And I'm sure that thrills the hearts of the Christians that have brought you along and have prayed for you and have sought to win your friendship and invite you along here tonight. And it's great that you've kept that invitation. But the Christians that gather here's greatest desire and prayer is not so much that you'll just come along to meetings. Meetings are good. And not so much that you'll just manage to become a better person, and that is good. And not so much that you'll manage to kick bad habits and turn over new leaves, although these things are good. The Christians that meet here tonight, along with myself, our earnest prayer is that you would hear the invitation that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You would hear the words that he has to speak, and that is what we've read tonight. The first we read in Matthew chapter 9, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, I was really thinking of four reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come for various reasons. But you know, I want to think of four specific ones tonight and just give them little headings. In Matthew chapter 9, we realise that the Lord Jesus Christ came to show love. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting at this occasion. He's sitting with those that were publicans, those who were tax collectors. And the Bible says he was sitting with those that were sinners. And there was men sitting there round about the Lord Jesus Christ, religious men. Men who could have looked at the Old Testament of the Bible and who had tried to live up to it the best they could. Men who thought they were beyond other men. Men who thought they were of a higher class than other people. Men who thought they were just a wee bit better than others. And they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ sitting with these men and these women. And they turned to him and he says to the disciples, he says, why does your master sit and eat with people that are sinners and people that are publicans? You know, I wonder if that's how people around about here make you feel. Maybe in this village tonight and you come, maybe there are those who look down their nose at you. Maybe there are those who would maybe try and think they're maybe just a wee bit better than you. Maybe those who have maybe never committed the same sort of sins that you've committed, and maybe they pride themselves in that. Or maybe sadly tonight you might be one of those that was speaking in here. Maybe you're one of those people in this village that looks down your noses at other people. And maybe you're one of those people that thinks you're maybe just a wee bit better than others. And maybe you look into some of the council houses up the scheme, and maybe you look into the activities that go on, and maybe you think you're just a wee bit better. Just like these Pharisees thought. They thought they were just a wee bit better than these publicans and sinners. And yet who does the Lord Jesus Christ come to? The Lord Jesus Christ comes to those who are publicans and sinners. Those who other people didn't really have time for. Those who other people would just walk by in the street. Those who other people would just turn up their nose at, and yet that is the very people that our Lord Jesus Christ came to. You read through the Gospels, if you get an opportunity, right through from Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and look at all the people that the Lord Jesus Christ comes into contact with. All those who receive a blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ. You read of a man that is a blind beggar. A man sitting at the side of the road, and even when he was crying out to Jesus, there was those who would say, listen, just you be quiet, just shush, Jesus hasn't got any time for you. And maybe you're in here tonight, maybe that's how you feel. Maybe people have just put you down so long that you think Jesus hasn't got any time for you. You know, I want to tell you, Jesus came to sit with publicans and sinners. We think of a woman that the Lord Jesus Christ met, a woman that had to come out in the middle of the day, at the very hottest time of the day, to get water out the well, because she was an immoral woman. She was a sinful woman. She was a woman that had five husbands, and the man that she was living with now wasn't her husband. And you know, men and women in that village of Samaria, they looked down their nose at her. They said she wasn't worth anything. And she was ostracised, and she was put away. And yet, you know what? Jesus made special detour. Jesus made it his purpose to go and sit in that well that he might meet that lady. Because Jesus loved her. And we could think of various others. Think of the little man Zacchaeus. You maybe have heard the story when you were maybe at Sunday school or maybe even at school sometimes these stories are taught. That little tax collector that used to rob people and take extra taxes and fill his own pockets with it. And men and women in that place of Jericho, they had no time for Zacchaeus. He was a thief. And you know, they think of that little man, he hears that Jesus is coming to the village. And he's trying his best to see Jesus, and people are just elbowing him out the way. And because he was just a little man, he wasn't able to get through. And he made that effort, and he went and he climbed up the sycamore tree, and he looked down where Jesus was. And you know what it says? It says, when Jesus got to the bottom of the tree, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. You know, these are the kind of people that Jesus came to save. People like Zacchaeus, a thief, a robber, a deceitful man, a man that people really had no time for, and Jesus came to save him. Came to save that woman that was sitting at the side in the well, came to draw water. A woman that was ostracised by the rest of the village, a woman that men and women looked down their noses at. A woman that men and women had no time for, thought they were just a wee bit better than her. And yet it was these kind of people that Jesus came to save. And you know, not only that man that was sitting at the side of the road, blind Bartimaeus, just a dirty, filthy beggar. Just couldn't really do anything for himself. Just hopeless and helpless. And just feeling that. Maybe that's how you feel tonight. I hope that's how you feel. Hopeless and helpless. Unable to do anything for yourself. Unable to get yourself a better life. Unable to turn over a new leaf. Unable to achieve anything in your own strength. And there was that man, blind Bartimaeus, lying there at the side of the road. And he cries out to the Lord Jesus, and people say, just you be quiet, Bartimaeus. Just you hold your leash. Jesus doesn't get time for people like you. And you know what the Bible says? It says Jesus stood still. What remarkable words. That Jesus, the very Son of God, the one who left heaven, the one who came into this world via the virgin womb, the one that was pure and holy and sinless and undefiled, and he was the one that stood still at the side of the road and called a blind beggar to him. Because Jesus came into this world to show love. And maybe you're in this little room tonight, and maybe you don't really know much about love. Maybe you don't really know much about love. Maybe you've grown up in a home that didn't really show much love. Maybe you've grown up in a home where your parents never really expressed their love. Or maybe they did love you, but maybe they never really expressed it to you. Maybe you're in a relationship with a partner, and maybe you really don't know anything about love tonight. Maybe you've got children, and maybe they've got no respect and no love for you. And maybe you're sitting in this room tonight, and maybe you feel unloved. You know, I want to tell you, the greatest person that ever walked this scene of time, the greatest one ever to walk the streets of this world, loves you tonight. And despite of all that you are, and he knows all about you tonight. He knew all about blind Bartimaeus. He knew all about the sinful woman at the well. He knew about her husbands. He knew that the man she was living with wasn't her husband. He knew about that man Zacchaeus and his thieving and his deceit. He knew all about him. And yet he loved him. And Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 9, we read that he's sitting with those that are publicans and tax collectors. See, Jesus says, he gives the reason why he came. He says, I am not come to call the righteous. And you know, if you're in here tonight and you think you're righteous and self-righteous and you don't need God and you don't need the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come to save you. You know, we have to come to a point where we realise we need to be saved. We have to come to a point where we realise we can't do it on our own before the Lord Jesus Christ will ever save us. And Jesus says, I'm not come to call the righteous. He says, but I'm come to call sinners to repentance. And you know, that really just highlights everyone in this room tonight. You know, every one of us, the Bible says, is sinners. It doesn't matter our creed, it doesn't matter our colour, it doesn't matter our background, it doesn't matter our standing in society. It doesn't matter whether we're the Prime Minister sitting in 10 Downing Street or whether we're the beggars that lie in the streets of our cities. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says there's no difference. Not one bit of difference between you and Gordon Brown tonight. Not one bit of difference between you and the Queen that sits on the throne. Not one bit of difference, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, God just levels us all out in the one plane. You know, we like to have little steps, you know, don't we? And we like to put people down here and other people up there. You know what God says? He says they're all just the same. And maybe you're in here tonight and maybe you thought you were something. And maybe you're one of those people that we've referred to, like these Pharisees that would question why Jesus would be interested in these dirty people, these sinful people. Maybe you're one of these people here tonight that pride yourself in your lifestyle and think you're maybe just a wee bit better than other people. Well, you know, tonight I want to tell you from God's word and from God's word alone, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says all our righteousnesses, all the good things that we do, all the things that we pride ourselves in, whether it's money that we give to charity or our good deeds to our neighbours or whatever it might be that you pride yourself in tonight, whatever you think that you're meriting favour with God tonight, you know what God says? He says it's just like filthy rags. He's no interested in it tonight. God wants you to realise tonight that you're a sinner. Not only that, you know what he says? He says, I've come to call sinners to repentance. And if God opens your eyes tonight to the fact that you're a sinner that has offended him and upset him and grieved him, a sinner that has turned your back upon him, you know what God exhorts you to do tonight? He exhorts you to repent of your sin. Sin is offensive to God. It doesn't matter what type of sin it is tonight. You know, we've got big sins and wee sins. We've got sins that are worthy of punishment and sins that we just let go by. You know, I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. It's worthy of punishment. It's serious tonight. It doesn't matter whether you've taken another man's life. It doesn't matter whether you've taken another man's wife. It doesn't matter whether you've told a white lie. It doesn't matter whether you've stole thousands of pounds from a bank or you've stole 20 pence out of your mum's purse. It doesn't matter tonight. Sin is sin. The Bible tells us in James, it says, if you break the law in one point, it says you're guilty of the whole law. And so every one of us tonight, including myself, we're guilty before God, and God sees our sin very, very serious. But thank God tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ came to show love. The Lord Jesus Christ came to show love and he exhorts us. He sits with sinners. He loves sinners. Despite your sin, he loves us. And he calls us tonight to repent of our sin. Turn our back upon it. Forsake it. Let it go. Don't cling on to it. Turn your back on your sin. Sin that has offended God. Sin that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of it tonight. And put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth is that he might show love. When he says, I am come, not to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Over in John chapter 12, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, and this time he's not so much here to show love, but this time he's here to shed light. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he says, I am a light into the world. You know, we think of a dark world that we live in. Think of the dark world that was when Jesus was there. And Jesus came to be a light. You know, you think of the purpose of light. What is light used for? Why do we use light today? You know, I really think that light has got a twofold purpose. And I think Jesus Christ, when we consider him as the light, has got a twofold purpose. You know, light exposes things, doesn't it? You know, you think of those of us who have maybe got security lights out our back doors. And you know, what's the purpose of the light? We've got it all censored up so that if somebody comes within 50 metres of our back door or whatever it might be, the light comes on. What's the light there for? Is the light there just to make things a wee bit easier for them so they don't trip over the flower pot? Is it there so that they don't trip over the curb? Is it there just to make their access to the back door that wee bit easier? You know, that's not the purpose of a security light. It's not to let people get an easier idea how to get in your back door when they shouldn't be getting in it. The reason we put up security lights is to expose them. Expose them for what they're doing. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came into the world. He came into the world and he exposed men and women for what they were. The Lord Jesus Christ, I've already made reference, is the fact, is the only one that has ever lived in this world that is sinless and pure and holy. He's the only one that never ever had a wrong thought get into his mind. And we've sat here for how long? Half an hour? How many wrong thoughts have gone into our mind? And yet Jesus Christ never had one wrong thought enter into his mind. He was the only one that never ever carried out a wrong action. Many wrong actions have we carried out in the week that's gone? He was the only one that never spoke a wrong word. Many wrong words have we spoken? You know, he was the only one that never had a wrong motive that even came from his heart. Never did anything for selfish gain or selfish pleasure. Many things have we done this week out of a wrong motive. Jesus Christ came and he was the only sinless one ever to live in this world. The only one that never did any of these things. The only one that was pure. The only one that was holy. And because of that, he exposed men and women for what they were. These Pharisees that we've already read about, Jesus Christ exposed them for what they were. They were men that thought they were just a wee bit better than others. These were men that prided themselves in their religion and their obedience to the law. And these were men that could have really shrugged their shoulders and held themselves and puffed out their chest and really demanded a wee bit of respect for others because, you know, they thought they were just that bit better. And into their presence comes somebody that can't even sin. Into their presence comes one that's never going to have a wrong thought. Into their presence comes one that's never going to have a wrong motive, that's never going to carry out a wrong action. And he exposed them for what they were. You know, the Bible tells us regarding the Pharisees, it says, you know, they scrub up the outside. They make sure the outside's all nice and clean. And they have it looking all fresh for men and women to look on them. And you know what it says? It says they forget that the inside is just like a tomb. It's dirty. It's smelly. It's filthy. And how many people in our village tonight are doing that? How many people in here are doing that? Eh? We scrub up the outside of our lives, don't we? And we try and make ourselves a wee bit more respectable. And we try and make ourselves a wee bit more appealing. And we forget that our insides are dirty and filthy. You know, the Bible tells us, it says that man looks in the outward appearance. And you can come in this little room tonight and you can fool every single person sitting here. And you can fool me. But you can't fool God. God doesn't look in your outward appearance tonight. God doesn't look in whether you're wearing better clothes than you were a fortnight ago. God doesn't look and see whether your hairstyle is just that bit nicer than it was 3 weeks ago. God doesn't look at you tonight and see if your nails are a bit more polished than they were 2 days ago. God's no interest in our outward appearance tonight. Men look in the outward appearance. God looks in your heart. You know what the Bible says about our hearts? The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, Jesus coming into this world, he exposed men and women for what they were. And maybe tonight, as you sit here tonight, maybe that's just what Jesus is doing to you. Maybe he's just exposing you for what you are. Maybe you come in here thinking that you're maybe just okay. Maybe you come in here tonight thinking, you know, that God would just accept you the way you were. Maybe you come in here tonight thinking that, you know, God will just accept me for what I am and God will accept the changes that I've made. I want to tell you tonight, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope he exposes each and every one of us for what we are. Makes it known to us just how sinful and impure and unholy we are. You know, God has got a standard. We've already made reference to that. For the way to all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of God's glory tonight. God's got a standard that is perfection. And how many people round about are trying to live up to it? And they think they're doing good deeds. And I'm not condemning good deeds. Good deeds are good. And good deeds benefit other people. And in a measure, good deeds will benefit you. And there's those that think if they go to church or they sign on a church register. And those that even think if they say it prayers and repetition prayers, then, you know, they're going to somehow just, you know, achieve some sort of relationship with God. You know, God makes it very clear. God's no interest in what we can offer tonight. God wants to expose us for what we are. God wants us to realise just what we are. And the Bible tells us each and every one of us is sinners. But you know, not only is light used to expose, but you know, light is used to show the way, is it not? You think of the sailors as they're out in the choppy seas, you know, and they're trying to make their way into the little tiny harbour opening. And you know, there's big rocks and dangerous rocks round about, and what do they use to guide them? What do they use that will show them just where they should go? Use the lighthouse and the light at the top of it. And they know if they just follow that light, they'll be led to safety. And Jesus didn't only come to expose us. If Jesus had only come to expose us, would be most men most miserable, would we know it? If Jesus just left us feeling lonely and miserable and dirty and filthy in his sight, how miserable would we feel tonight? You know, Jesus didn't just come to expose us. Jesus came to show the way. Is that not what Jesus Christ says in John chapter 6? He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. He says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And Jesus Christ did not only come to expose us for what we are, but Jesus Christ came to show us how we can come to him. Jesus Christ came to show us how we can have a right relationship with God. Jesus Christ came to show us how that we can have these sins forgiven, sins that are defiling. Jesus Christ came to tell us how they could all be cleansed. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth and the life. So the one that exposes us for what we are is the one that is the answer. The one that can take away our sin. The one that can wash it away. The one that can, you know, Isaiah the prophet, he can say, though my sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you're feeling the burden of your sin, and maybe you feel it's just like scarlet, just a big scarlet blot in your life that you're unable to rub out and erase. And Jesus Christ is able to take that scarlet blot, and he's able to make it as white as snow. And it's only through Jesus. It's only through him. You know, how is he able to do it tonight? How is the Lord Jesus Christ able to forgive us our sins? What gives him the special honour and privilege of being the only one in this world to be able to forgive us? You know, I want to tell you tonight about Calvary. Because that's what gives the Lord Jesus Christ the right to forgive your sins. Not because he was a good man. And many people will give Jesus credit for being a good man tonight. And you ask people in the homes around us and you come, what do you think about Jesus? You know, many of them will say he was a good man. And you know, some will tell us that he did good things, and some of them will even hold their hand up and say that the miracles that he carried out were amazing, and you know, miracles that had never been seen before, nor again. And many men and women in the world tonight will give him credit for all of that. That's all they'll give him credit for. You know, I want to realise our estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ has got to be higher than that tonight. Jesus Christ wasn't only a good man. Jesus Christ wasn't only a good man that was willing to die for what he believed in. You know, Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, he was the Son of God. And not only that, but as the Son of God, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what Calvary was all about tonight. That wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ's final statement in this earth, to die for what he believed in. You know, Calvary was what the Lord Jesus Christ had come for to begin with. We read away back into the very introduction when Jesus Christ comes into the world. You know, when the angel comes to Joseph and he says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And how was Jesus going to save us tonight? How was Jesus going to be able to remove our sin and take away all that that defiles us? Jesus was going to go to Calvary for that. And men did their very worst to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible gives us vivid descriptions of it. You can read it yourself in the latter chapters of the Gospels, each of the Gospels. And the Bible tells us clearly what men did to him. How they pulled the hair from off his face. How they blindfolded him and they buffeted him from side to side. And you know, they told him to tell them who it was that was hitting him. They stripped him of all his garments. They put upon him a robe of purple, and you know, they mocked him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. They took a crown of thorns and they plaited it and they crushed it into his brow. And you read it in your own time, what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you come to a point when it tells us that the whole earth was clothed in darkness. And after men had done their very worst to the Lord Jesus Christ, God punished them for your sins and for my sins. See, God's too holy just to forget about a sin. God's too holy just to, you know, put it in a closet and forget it ever existed. God's too holy just to lift a corner of the carpet and sweep it in there as if it's never been known. God can't just overlook sin tonight, and God will not overlook sin. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to be a sacrifice for your sin. And every sin that you've committed today, and every sin that you've committed over the years of your life, and every sin that you're going to commit in the years of your life to come, Jesus Christ was punished for them. You know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of our New Testament, he says, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what Calvary was all about tonight. It was the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself for you. It was the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself for me. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough to do that for us. And so the Lord Jesus Christ comes not only to show love, and not only to shed light and expose us for what we are and lead us in the right way. But you know, in John chapter 10 we read the Lord Jesus Christ, when he can say, I am come, that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Quite wonderful words, you know. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's standing amongst those who were breathing, and whose hearts were beating, and who were moving, and who were talking, and who were thinking, and who were hearing, and who were listening, and who were, you know, carrying out all the characteristics of people that were alive. And you're sitting here tonight, and every one of you is manifesting things that would indicate that you're alive tonight. You're breathing, your heart's beating blood round about your body. Your lungs are inflating and deflating the way they should be. Your mind's thinking. You're listening to what I'm saying. You're thinking. All these things manifesting that you're alive tonight. And Jesus speaks to a group of people just like that. And what does he say? He says, I'm come that you might have life. You know, God isn't just talking about giving us the physical life that we know here tonight. God isn't just talking about giving that life when a little baby is brought into the world and it takes its first gasp of air and screams. God isn't talking about that. God has given you that life, and I hope you thank him for it. You know, we live in a world where men and women would try and say that God didn't give us this life. We live in a world where men and women would rather think that we came from some sort of single-cell organism, and through trillions of years of evolution, we stand here tonight, fully functioning human beings, with a capacity to think and to see and to reproduce and all these things. And men and women would take away the very fact that God has given you life. God gave you the life that you've got tonight. And God allows you to breathe the air that you breathe, and God keeps your heart beating. And I want to warn you tonight, the God that gives you it tonight might be the God that takes it away from you tomorrow. The Bible tells us tonight, it says, don't boast about another day, because you don't know what another day will bring forth. We're so good at planning for the future, aren't we? We're so good at thinking about our summer holidays and where we're going to go and how what we're going to do. We're so good about thinking even about next weekend and our plans for next Saturday and next Sunday. We're so good at even thinking about tomorrow. Thinking about getting your things looked out for your work or school or wherever you might be going. We're so good about thinking about tomorrow. You know, I want to warn each and every one of us tonight, the God that keeps our hearts beating tonight could be the God that stops it tomorrow. You know, I wonder if that was to happen to you tonight, I wonder where you would be. If God was to decide that your heart had beat for long enough, if God was to decide that you'd breathed for long enough and he was just to cut it off, I wonder where you would be. Only you know that answer. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't he just speaking about that kind of life that he's given us tonight, the physical life, but you know, he's talking about spiritual life. You know, we think of when the Lord Jesus, when God created man, what does it say? He says he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then what happened? Man decided just to go his own way, didn't he? Man decided that he knew better than God, and he would just live his own life, and he would just please his own self. And man died. Read the early chapters of Genesis, and you read time and time again, man died. Man died. Man died. And not only died physically, although they did in our cemeteries and our crematoriums around about us here are evidence to the fact that men will die. But from Adam right up till now, every one of us is dead. The Bible tells us that we're dead in trespasses and sins. Every one of us. And Jesus comes and he says, I've come that you might have life. You know, you ever heard the phrase, you know, you sometimes hear it in films, or you know, some of these people that are in and out, that we hear in and out of prison and that, and they'll say, you know, that man, you know what he is? He's a walking dead man. What does that mean? It means that somebody's got it in for him. and his time is limited. And you know that sooner or later somebody's going to get him and he's going to be dead. You know, I want to tell you tonight, everybody that's no trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're walking dead men. They're walking dead women. They don't know what it is to have life, and real life, and abundant life. And Jesus Christ came, and that was his purpose. Not only to show love, and not only to shed light, but to share life tonight. If you're in here tonight, and maybe you're still dead in trespasses and sins, maybe you're still far away from him. And Jesus comes tonight, and he says, I've come that you may have life. You might have it more abundantly. You know, I want you just to evaluate your life tonight. What is your life? The Bible asks us to ask that question in James. It says, what is your life? Just take a few moments and think about that. What is your life? What does your life consist of? And then think of what the Lord Jesus Christ is offering you tonight. Jesus Christ says, I am come that you might have life. You might have it more abundantly. And what do we read in the following verse? The Lord Jesus Christ says, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. You know, that's the only way that the Lord Jesus Christ can give us life tonight is because he sacrificed his life. The only reason tonight that we can come into the joy of new life in the Lord Jesus Christ is because there was a moment in time when Jesus bowed his head in death. And he says, into thy hand I commend my spirit. You know, Jesus' life wasn't taken from him. You know, everybody that's died, their life was taken from them. You know, Jesus' life wasn't taken from him. Jesus gave his life willingly. You know, Jesus bowed his head in his breast and he says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He willingly gave up his life that he might be able to make this offer to you tonight of life, and that more abundantly. Jesus Christ has come. Three reasons the Lord Jesus Christ has come: to show love. Do you feel unloved tonight? I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. He came to shed light, expose us for what we are, highlight the sin in our life. I wonder if that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done to you tonight. Just exposed you for what you are. And not only that, but highlight the way. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, no other way. And then we read here, he's come to share life. I wonder if you want to receive that life tonight. I wonder if you're sick and tired of the life you're living, a life that is empty, a life that is just mundane and meaningless. Jesus Christ is offering life tonight, and life more abundant. And all the Lord Jesus Christ is asking us to do is just believe him, just take him at his word. The Lord Jesus Christ is offering these as a gift tonight. You know, what does the Bible say? It says the wages of sin is death. And that's what we all deserve, wages. That's what someone who works a week's work gets. They get their deserve, they get their wages. And yet Jesus Christ says, he says, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift to you tonight. What you do with a gift is you just accept it. And that is all God is asking us to do tonight, is just to accept his gift. And just repent of our sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to show love, and he came to shed light, and he came to share life, but you know, he came to lead. Think of the words that we read in Mark chapter 8, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, Christianity is more than just saying a sinner's prayer. What can start with that? But Christianity is more than just reading a little pamphlet and just adding in your name where they tell you to add in your name, and you think you're a born-again Christian tonight. Jesus makes the demands. He says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny all that you are tonight. Deny all your past life. Deny all your sin. All that is destroying a relationship with God at the moment, deny it. Take up your cross. You know, when Jesus took up his cross, where was he going? He was going out to die. If you want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, the sinful you, the sinful me, it's got to die. It's got to become non-existent. We've got to take up our cross, and we've got to follow him. And I do trust tonight that see, Christianity is a serious business. And you know, there's many people in it, and many other Christians tonight, and you know, they preach a kind of half-hearted gospel where, you know, you say this little sinner's prayer. I was at a big convention end of last year with Nicky Cruz, and you know, bringing everybody to the front of his little auditorium, and hundreds of folk going down, and he leads them in prayer, and they repeated the prayer, and you know, I don't know how many out of that would have genuinely been born again. You know, I'm not here to call people up to the front to repeat a prayer after me. Christianity is far more than that tonight. You know, Christianity is about discipleship. It's about following Jesus. And Jesus says, whosoever will come after me, you want your sins forgiven. You want new life. You want to know the way. He says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Be obedient to what God wants you to do. Be obedient to what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do. And maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but maybe you haven't been as obedient as you should have been. The Lord Jesus Christ demands obedience in every aspect of our life. And that is a challenge to me as much as to anybody here tonight. And maybe God has been challenging you about areas in your life that you're not being obedient. Maybe you've never been baptised, and Jesus Christ has commanded it, that those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ should be baptised. And maybe you're not baptised. You've been disobedient to him. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ says? He says, why call ye me Lord and Master if you do not the things that I ask? Maybe Jesus is asking you to do something, a Christian here tonight. Maybe he's asking you to do something. Maybe he's kept on asking you. And maybe you pray and maybe you call him Lord and Master. Jesus says, why call me Lord and Master if you're not going to do the things I ask you? And maybe you're baptised. Maybe you don't meet with Christians the way you should. And there's various other aspects of Christian life. And maybe there's just individual things to you tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, take up your cross and follow me. Be obedient to me. And maybe Jesus is bringing out things in your life that you need to be obedient to him. And I do trust that as you've listened to God's word tonight, that you may be obedient, that we all might be obedient. And most of all, those of us that have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might start being obedient to him. You might repent of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and know what it is to have your sins forgiven. Shall we pray? Father, as we come into your presence, we just do so in the name of the Lord Jesus, returning you thanks for your word to us this evening. We do thank you for a Saviour that loves, and we do thank you for one that manifested his love to those while he was here in this earth. And we do thank you for that one who manifests his love to us even tonight. We thank you for Calvary, the greatest expression of your love. We think of those people in the Old Testament, they could say, wherein have you loved us? How have you loved us? Show us how you've loved us. We do thank you that we take one look at Calvary tonight, and we thank you that that is proof enough that you love us, that you were willing to send your own son to Calvary for our sins. We just pray for any here tonight that have maybe never trusted the Lord Jesus. We pray that you'll give them the opportunity tonight just to trust in him. And we do ask and pray that there might be rejoicing in their heart as they come to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, be obedient to his word, and Father, just know the joy and the happiness of sins forgiven and a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do ask and pray. Wherever tonight the gospel has been preached, even now as we pray, it will be being preached elsewhere. Bless it, we do ask, as we give thanks in Jesus' name.